Congregation, the main text for this morning is from Zechariah 4, the verses 2 and 3. Zechariah 4, the verses 2 and 3 are our main text. And said unto me, What seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps, which are upon the top thereof, and to olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. So far, the vision of the golden candlestick. First, you'd like to look at the text, verse 2 and 3. Then look at the chapter which fills it in. And then go even wider through the whole book and the scriptures. So circles, an outer circle, an inner circle, and even circle in the middle. So first the text, then the chapter, then the book and the Bible. All about the golden candlestick. Congregation, the prophet Zechariah was a priest as well. And he had come back from Babylon to Israel to build the temple and to get settled again. And he saw night visions. And in our chapter, we find the fourth of the night visions of the prophet Zechariah. And he was really overwhelmed. So overwhelmed that he almost was unconscious. He was in a deep sleep, unconsciousness. And the angel that talked with me came again, we read in verse 1, he came again and waked me, as a man that is wakened out of his sleep. As if he was asleep. Not there anymore. So impressed with the truth he had seen and the night visions he had looked upon so far. And then the angel with the messenger, I was asking him, what do you see? What seest thou? And then Zechariah answers that question, what he is seeing in a vision. He's awake. He's awake again, but he sees a vision. And he said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick, all of gold. A candlestick. Remember the candlestick in the temple? In the tabernacle, in the holy place, across the table of showbread, and close to the altar of incense in the holy place, before the veil, and behind the veil was the ark with the cherubim, the face, the countenance of God. But it was also a candlestick, kind of a stand. It looked like a tree, with branches on both sides and more branches, in total seven, include the middle one, and then seven oil lamps on top of it. Pure gold, beaten work with the hand, hammered and formed, maybe hollow, but pure gold, kind of 3 feet high. And lights thereon. And every morning the priest had to come to trim the lights and to clean them out and to fill it up with olive oil, the best pure, beaten, thin olive oil. You know, what does that mean, actually? What is that for? What is it? I understand that the showbread, that is kind of a sacrifice to the God behind that veil. And they understand also that altar of incense, that is meant to sacrifice and to give peace and reconciliation to the God who is behind that veil. But what does that lampstand do here? Well, that lampstand is an example. What do you think? An example of the church. Of Israel and the church. To give light. You would say, well, are you sure? Because then that candlestick should stand outside. So to give light to the people. But it was inside. It was in the tabernacle. There were no windows there. It was dark. And those are the only seven lights. What's the sense of saying there's a light? The church is a light? Well, in the first place, the church is a light for God. They burn for Him. They glorify God. They're there for Him, for His face, before His countenance. So that's why every morning the priest came and cleaned it up and filled it up and lit it again for God's glory. Is that not the purpose of creation? Is that not why we are on earth? Is it not our purpose? Not to give light to the people, but to give light to God, for Him, for His glory, for His majesty, to rejoice in Him, to sacrifice our lives unto Him. You know, those lights had to burn continually. Some say that means only during the day. Because at the beginning of the day, they were lit again. And others say, no, they're burning 24 hours. I think the last thing is probably the best translation, the best explanation. Constantly burning before the Lord. So, let me prove that from Revelation 1. The mystery of the seven stars, which thou sawest in the right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks, which thou sawest, are the seven churches. So, there's one candlestick in the tabernacle. With 10 candlesticks in the Temple of Solomon, 5 on the right side, 5 on the left. And Revelation speaks about 7 candlesticks. But although it is 1 or 10 or 7, it all refers to the church. So God needs to be glorified and magnified. But you know, there's more this time. And said unto me, what seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick, all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it. And the 7 lamps thereon, and 7 pipes to the 7 lamps, which are upon the top thereof. You see it? I see those 7 arms, I see those 7 lights, and on top of that is a bowl. And in that bowl is oil, olive oil. And there are pipes from the bowl to all those 7 lamps. Some say 1 pipe to every lamp. Another said, no, it says 7 times 7. 7 pipes to every lamp. 7 times 7, 49 pipes. You know, I studied it a little bit, and I would spare you the details in Hebrew. Personally, I'm convinced it's 49 pipes. And his seven lamps thereon and seven pipes to the seven lamps, it says. So there will always be oil in those lamps. If one is plugged, there are still six left. There needs to be a constant flow of oil from that bowl to the lamps. What would that mean? Well, there's a constant supply of oil to those lamps that they won't go out, that they won't be quenched, that we don't need that priest to come. We don't need anyone to fill it up. There's a bowl on top of that, and it goes automatically, day in, day out, the oil is flowing abundantly through all those 49, or maybe seven, I think 49 pipes. But I think there's a boy or girl in church saying, what if that bowl is empty? Because eventually that bowl with all the oil in there gets empty because it's used, all the fuel is used. You know, look, on the right side, on the left side, are two olive trees. And those olive trees, they produce abundantly. And there are pipes from those branches to the bowl. And so those trees keep growing, keep producing the olives, and the oil goes into the bowl. So you don't have to be afraid that it will ever get empty. It goes on and on and on, year after year. No human hand needs to help. The Lord is doing it all himself. Who do you think you are? Do you think he needs any help of people? And that oil, that golden oil, is an example of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit continues to provide for the church. So the church will be lit, and the church will lighten, and the church will glorify God and treasure God and stand there before God and stand there before the veil and just indicate he is worthy of all glory and of all honor. So you know what this means now, right? It means a constant supply. And the Lord says, I take care of my church myself. I don't need you. I don't need you, pastor. I don't need you, elder. I don't need you, deacon. I don't need you, parent. You have your responsibilities as a church. But the Lord says, I can do it all myself. And I continue with the providing the Holy Spirit until the end. So we may be discouraged sometimes to think, what's happening in this world? And you hear things about how things are developing in our country, and you fear for the future, you're sad about what's coming up. And the Lord says, don't fear too much. I maintain my church. I maintain the work. It's my work. It's my candlestick. It's my treasure. It's golden. It's my golden candlestick. So I read in 1 John 2 verse 20, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Unction. This old word, unction. I asked the confession class a while ago, what is that unction? Did anyone know? I don't remember. I don't think so. Unction. Unction is to be anointed. And anointed is to have that oil over you. And that oil over you means you're chosen. And oil over you means that you are enabled. And the Lord gives the fuel. The Lord gives the energy. The Lord gives the guidance of His Spirit in all the work you're doing. So God's children are part of that candlestick. And they give light. And the Holy Spirit has entered into their hearts and has given them new birth and life and fuel and energy to give light for the Lord in the first place. 1 John 2, but the anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you. See that? The anointing, the oil, the anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it has taught you, ye shall abide in Him. Abide in Him, abide in that vine, and abide in that tree, and abide in that candlestick. Howbeit then He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you in all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. So Zechariah was impressed and almost asleep and unconscious, and he woke up and received a vision. He saw the candlestick and he saw the lights and he saw the bowl and he saw those 49 pipes and he saw those olive trees providing, and it went on and on and on. What's the purpose? What are the circumstances? What's the sense of this? There must be a reason, right? Why he is shown this. Well, yes. About 16, 17 years before, the people of Israel, quite a few of them, had come back from Babylon. King Cyrus allowed them, and they came back to Jerusalem. And Jerusalem was in ruins. Jerusalem was just a hill. There was almost nothing left of the city. And they started building a new temple. Not as huge as Solomon's temple, but a small temple. And they laid the foundation stone, and they prepared a place to sacrifice, and they started sacrificing, and then there was so much opposition from the Samaritans that they quit. And that's now 16, 17 years ago. And the city is still in ruins, and people start building some houses for themselves. And they are leaving Jerusalem for rural areas. And they leave Jerusalem and the temple alone. They're discouraged. What's the sense? Why did we come back anyway? Has God forgotten us? Has He forsaken the work of His hands? And then the prophet Haggai came. And the prophet Haggai encouraged the people. to come back to Jerusalem and to build the city and to build the tabernacle. And 2 months after he quit, Zechariah came. And Zechariah preached them to build a temple. It was a shame not to do so. He encouraged them. And he said, you know, it's the Lord's work. Think of that candlestick. It's the Lord's work. All those visions, those night visions, have the same purpose. To encourage the people to continue on in the fear of the Lord. And not to get discouraged and quit. You may want to read it for yourself in Ezra 3 and in the book of Nehemiah. And in the year 520 before Christ, they started building again. And in 4 years, there was a temple again. You know, that's why we have to look at the whole chapter, as we do in our second thought. Look at the next verses. 4. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto him, knowest thou not what these be? That's obvious. Who would understand? You don't know? And I said, no, my Lord. Honestly. So he was a prophet, and he did not understand the vision. So even the prophets need to be enlightened. Even the prophets need to be encouraged and to receive more. And 6, verse 6, then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this, relating to that vision, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. That's the explanation. But are these things, what does this mean? I have no idea. Tell me, what is it, Lord? Well, this is the word of God for Zerubbabel. Who is Zerubbabel? Zerubbabel is the governor of Jerusalem and Israel. He is the leader. And he started building 16, 17 years ago. And he quit. So tell Zerubbabel to start all over, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, say the Lord of hosts. Zerubbabel was discouraged and felt paralyzed, felt kind of, what's the sense of, no, nobody cooperates. Everything is against us. Tell him, not by power, not by might, but by my spirit. Because Zerubbabel thought of himself. He looked at himself and said, I cannot do this. I don't have the authority, I don't have the strength, I don't have the energy, I don't have the courage, I don't have the might, I don't have the power. And the Lord says, I know that. But you don't have to do it yourself. It is not by your might, it's not by your power, it's by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is doing it. You don't have to have any expectation of self, Zerubbabel. The Spirit is doing it. Look at that candlestick. Look at those 49 pipes. Look at those trees on both sides. It's enough. I provide myself. I'm faithful to my own work. And let me just tuck this in. Zerubbabel did not feel he had the might and the power, and the Lord encouraged him, right? With some people, it is the other way around. And they think they have the power, and they have the might, and the Lord says, no, you don't have the power. You don't have the might. Who do you think you are? And the Lord pushes them back and says, not your might, not your power, but by my spirit, say the Lord. Some people have to be held back, not by your power, not by your might. Calm down. It's not you doing it. Sit down, please. Let the Lord do the work. And others have to be encouraged and say, it is not in your own power. It is not in your own strength. The Holy Spirit is doing it. Come on. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Lord of hosts. Remember? What does that mean? Lord of hosts. Hosts, myriads, plenty, many. What an army, incredible army of God. The Almighty God with his thousands and 10,000 millions of angels. The Lord of hosts. I can do it. I have the power. I have the might myself. The chapter, right? Look at verse 8. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. See, that fills it in again. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation 16, 17 years ago. And the Lord says, I promise. Simply, I promise. His hands shall also finish it. I don't do half work. I don't only do the beginning and then you do the rest. No. I do it myself. The foundation in his hands shall also finish it by my power, by my might, by my spirit. He'll do it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. So the Lord of hosts will be known and will be acknowledged that the Lord spoke through Zechariah in favor of this Zerubbabel. And you know that Zerubbabel is a type of who? Of Christ, of course. Of the Messiah. Of the Messiah, he begins and he finishes. And he continues with the Spirit. Because the Lord Jesus said, the Spirit of God is upon me. Right? So that's the Holy Spirit finishing it. Verse 10, for who has despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. So who has despised the day of small things? In the beginning, he had some hope. Some hope about little things. A foundation stone and a sacrificing place. Just little things. And the Lord is saying, don't despise the day of those little things. Don't expect big things right away. It often begins with small things. Don't be unthankful and be too discouraged, and pay attention to that, to those beginnings. You know, often we can be discouraged about family life and church life, and you name it. Discouraged. Experiencing that you have no power, no might, you can't do anything about it, and we need to be encouraged. The Lord's saying, I will do it. Your hands have begun and you will finish it. But then also not to despise the day of small things. Think of that little cloud as a man's hand coming. Right? And Elijah saw that. And he saw that as a sign of God's faithfulness, that the Lord will continue with his work and will not forsake the works of his own hands. For who has despised the day of small things, so they shall rejoice. They shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. You know, they didn't have levers, so they used a cord with a piece of lead or stone to make the walls of the temple really vertical. And now I see in the future, I see Zerubbabel himself holding that plummet line and building the temple. He has started again. He is not despising the day of the small things. He takes the initiative. Zerubbabel continues, and there is joy, and they shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven, that eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth. That's difficult. I don't think I really understand that. Maybe nobody does. But apparently, there are eyes, right? There are eyes of the Lord. And those eyes run to and fro through the whole earth. So this must refer again to the Messiah and to God or the Holy Spirit. Those seven eyes looking everywhere and rejoicing and providing and caring and having oversight. That's how far I can come. I can't come any further. The Lord saying, I see the plummet line in the hand of Zerubbabel, and I will provide. My seven eyes run to and fro. I have everything under my control. I reign. The Lord reigneth. That's in that same line, right? The same line of don't be too discouraged. The Lord continues with his work and won't stop. But you know, there is still something that Zechariah does not understand. I think now he understands those seven lights, the candlestick, and he understands the bowl. He understands those 49 or seven pipes providing the fuel, and he understands that he needs to be encouraged and continue with his work, and he will hold the plummet line. But what are those two trees. 11. Then answered I and said unto him, what are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? And I answered again and said unto him, what be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? So those trees or branches with pipes putting the golden oil out of themselves in the bowl. What are those branches? What are those trees about? And he answered me and said, knowest thou not what these be? And he said, no, my Lord. Then said he, these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. It says, actually, the two sons of oil, the two anointed ones, the two providing the oil, the sons of oil, not anointed themselves in the sense of that they're anointed, but they anoint. There are many explanations about that. Who those two olive trees are. Some say those are Zechariah and Haggai. Really? These are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. I don't deny the Lord is using people, using prophets, using preachers to the welfare of his church. But Haggai and Zechariah, others say those two are Zerubbabel and Joshua. That's the same problem, really, people. And others say, this is the Messiah. It's the Messiah, it's the Lord Jesus. He is the one giving that, and he provides. I like that explanation. But is it the explanation? And others say, it is the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, and he provides. Now, why don't we think of all of that? The Lord uses Haggai and Zechariah and Zerubbabel and Joshua. It's the work of Christ through the Holy Spirit. And it's done well. And it's enough. It's in the hands of God. He shall do it. You know, one verse I skipped. Accidentally. Verse 7. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain. And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. So in verse 7 are two things, right? A mountain. I see mountains everywhere, Zerubbabel said. Jerusalem is a mountain. I can't move that mountain. We also use that expression, right, in English. I see a mountain in front of me. It's too much. It's too steep. And that's exactly how the people felt, and Zerubbabel felt as well. He saw a mountain. But who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain? That's how the Lord works. Also in spiritual life. So often you see a mountain again. It's too high. You can't get over it. It's too steep. It's threatening. You feel that impossibility. It is not just a wall or a fence or an obstacle. It's a mountain. And the Lord says, I remove that mountain. And the second part of verse 7, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. So Zechariah is forwarding. And he says, you know, within a few years, they will place the headstone. When you make an arch, a door, a gate, that you build all those, stack all those stones, and then someday you have to put the middle stone, the headstone thereof. And that means now the work is finished. Now the roof is on there. Now you can have a flag on there. And he sees it happening when that headstone is placed. And he sees the crowd in front of it witnessing this and singing, grace, grace be unto it. And the people are so happy that the headstone is placed. Grace, grace, by God's grace, not our effort, by God's grace, grace, grace unto it. See the golden candlestick in the text and in the chapter. Let's go wider. Congregation, is always dangerous to take a text out of context. And so far we try to read the text in the context of the chapter. But we may miss the point if we don't have the wider context. And to also have a look at the first chapter of Zechariah and see what's the background here. I read in verse 2. Well, let us start with verse 1. In the 8th month, in the 2nd year of Darius, came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying, the Lord has been sore displeased with your fathers. Sore displeased with your fathers. That's how it starts. Something is not right. Sore displeased. Therefore, verse 3, say thou unto them, thus say the Lord of hosts, turn ye unto me, say the Lord of hosts. And I will turn unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. You know, for some people, and in some churches, with all respect, conversion is to become conscious of the fact that God loves you. Conversion is, in some churches, to become aware that God loves you. But that's not what it is. Conversion is not finding out that God loves you. It's an anger of God. He is very displeased. And repentance for your sins are necessary. Otherwise, you're not part of that golden candlestick and of that oil provided. So that's why it is crucial to have a look at chapter 1, verse 3. Turn ye unto me, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will turn unto you. Two times, saith the Lord of hosts. I mean it. I say it twice. Turn ye, and I will turn unto you. Don't reverse it. Don't be critical of the Bible and say, I know it better. Lord, turn me, and then I will turn. That's also true. That's also in the Bible. But this is also in the Bible. Turn ye, and the Lord is behind that, the Lord of hosts. So do you hear that? Younger ones, older ones, the Lord has a message for you today. Not only about that beautiful candlestick and the lights and the bowl and the trees and the pipes, but also turn ye. Don't forget about that. And we can also look at another place. We can also page through the chapters and see what's after the night visions. And I read in chapter 13, in that day there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. So also connect that. There's a fountain. There's lots of oil. Much oil. 49 pipes. And it keeps flowing. There's an abundance of the Spirit. But there's also a fountain open to the house of David. So that fountain is open. That fountain is flowing. There's water of life coming out of it. There's plenty. And there's no fence around it. It does not say forbidden. No access, no entrance. It doesn't say that. There's a fountain opened to the house of David. And a few more things from Scripture around it. I read in Matthew 5. Verse 14 and following, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. And neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. See, that is the purpose. That light is there for the Lord. But we see in Matthew 5 that light is also for the world. May the world see it in our conduct, in our lifestyle, in our friendliness, in our care and love. May they see it. That's a different people, an unselfish people. I think of John 6, verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. See how dependent we are upon that Spirit. The flesh can't do anything. It's impossible from our side. The Lord says, repent ye and turn ye. And we keep saying that, but also this is true. We need that Spirit. That Spirit quickeneth. And the flesh profiteth nothing. I follow Revelation 1 again. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, walking there, standing there maybe, in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girded about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white, like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned it in a furnace. And his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his face, his countenance was as the sun shining in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, "Fear not, I am the first, and I am the last. I am he that liveth, and I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death." See that it is him standing in the midst of those seven candlesticks, the churches, the Lord Jesus. He protects them. He is there for them. He's the Savior. He is more than Zerubbabel, more than Zechariah, more than Joshua. I thought of Matthew 15:37. It's about the Lord Jesus multiplying bread and fish. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up of the broken meat, and there was left seven baskets full. There was not enough, there was more than enough. Right? There was more than enough. Leftovers. Think about that. Think of those seven times seven pipes. Think of the plenteous amount of oil and the constant flow of it. There's an abundance. There's more than enough grace for sinners. More than needed. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. That's our hope. That's the expectation for pastors, for elders, for parents, for teachers, for deacons, for missionaries, for God's people personally, to really depend upon that Holy Spirit and to hear it, not by might, not by power. Because we like to work ourselves. We like to provide ourselves and to be proud of our own doings in our work and spiritually. And the Lord says, "No, I do it." And we have to stop working. We have to quit doing our best in that sense and letting the Lord do it instead of trying to please the Lord first and to gain his favor. It's the opposite. It's the Lord's work. And the Lord is really honored by what? By us doing something? the Lord is really honored by if we don't do anything anymore and only rely on Him. Him that worketh not, but believeth in Him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted unto him for righteousness. Amen. Almighty, most precious Lord, may it please thee to come with thy Spirit and to anoint with fresh oil, to be first and last in the hearts of sinners, also in the hearts of thy people. They are sinners as well, and they remain sinners. Lord, make it yet well, and may they rely more upon him who provides. Lord, we ask thee to bring people to the place who assume that they have the might and have the power and have the strength and have the faith and have this and that. Bring them back to that place that they won't have, where they won't have anything. But also remember them who have nothing and have been emptied of all self-righteousnesses. Show them thy salvation. Be with us the rest of this day. Bring us safely also back home. Lord, remember, thou knowest us and how we feel this morning, and also them having received discouraging news this week. Lord, thou knowest all things, so we beseech thee, Lord, yet make it well. The Lord reigneth, not by might, not by power, by Spirit. In Jesus' name alone, amen.